Now your problems are like that. They're all in one trunk. And if you take them out one at a time, you'll find that you never end with them. And the way to get rid of the problems is take the trunk and throw it out. Take the container which contains all the problems and throw it out. And that container is the world mind. That's where they are. Instead of taking all of the evils in your life and trying to treat them individually, day in and day out, with new truth, with new affirmations, with new understanding, with new logic and reason, come out and be separate means lock them all up in the one trunk called world mind. Don't differentiate between the heart attack and the germ, between the lack or the limitation. Don't be drawn into whether it's the left side of the lung or the right side. All evils on the earth are the one world mind, and it will always come to you in the disguise of a person, a condition, a thing, a lack, a limitation, but it's always the same one world mind. And the amazing thing is that when you stop and recognize it, if this is evil, it must be the world mind, because it isn't God's mind. Then you have found your adversary. You're not stuck pursuing a false cause or a false result. The minute you recognize your adversary as world mind, something happens. World mind told you you had arthritis. World mind told you this and that. Did you recognize world mind? Or did you recognize the arthritis? Now let's recognize world mind. Let's just face our problems, any one or ten, with the knowledge that world mind is trying to present a lie to us right where God alone is. And I am coming out of world mind and be separate. I'm not accepting what world mind is presenting. It is not of God. And that little me that we spoke of earlier, that's the fellow who is accepting it. I'll find that little me. That me who is accepting I have arthritis. That me who is accepting I have another kind of a problem. That me who said I'm losing my vision. That me who said I'm getting old. That me who said I lack this and lack that. That me who said my domestic problem is getting the best of me. Who is that me? Why, that's the stooge. That's world mind appearing, calling itself me. That's who it is. That me is world mind, individualized as myself. And it never was me. That perpetuation of the lie, right down to me, must be caught and understood. This is the 18th chapter of Revelation. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now you can be sure no angel came down from heaven. This is the angel of inner revelation, John receiving within the divine impulse, the divine intelligence. Open to the higher self, he receives this angel. Divine thought enters his consciousness, as it will and does everyone who is able to remove the barriers to the ever-present Spirit functioning in their inner self, the Father within. And now he's lifted higher because of this inner intuition. And he sees what we have been discussing. The angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Babylon is the world consciousness, the state of the human mind on its cosmic level. Why is it fallen? Because the last words spoken by Christ Jesus at the crucifixion were, "It is finished." And that is when Babylon fell. That is when the world consciousness was rent open. And that is the effect you're seeing all around you today. It is finished. Christ consciousness has overcome the false sense of the world. And John is being lifted to that place where he can see, yes, yes, the crucifixion of Jesus was not what it appeared to be at all. It was the death of the false sense of self, which is the birth of Christ consciousness on the earth. This wasn't a man. This was Christ consciousness infiltrating the universe, breaking through the crust of human thought. It is finished. The world consciousness has no existence in Christ. And now you are feeling the tidal wave, the effect of that event. Literally, in this so-called 20th century, we are just getting the tidal waves of that event in time and in space. And John is privileged to see it and to remind us that this is the meaning of it is finished. Babylon is fallen. Those three last words of Jesus on the cross, "It is finished," are the same as here spoken, "Babylon is fallen." The world consciousness has no power. It is exposed as an illusion, as a false god. An invisible disguise has been pierced. John is bringing to us the realization that we can come out from under the evils of this world. Babylon is fallen, fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now you see, these birds, they are the human motives, the human thoughts, the human ways. You can see that this human cage is filled with much corruption. In the visible world, it seems to be heightening today. It is reaching what you may call the climax of folly. And that climax of folly will be the end of it. For it is fallen. And it is just a matter of time before that which is fallen appears to us fallen. This is what John beholds in the higher consciousness, which is coming through to the earth today as the visible, tangible degeneration of this world. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. As you live in the material consciousness, in a material world, in a material body, you are drinking of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Be ye perfect, says the Father. Now you try and make that human body perfect. See how far you get. You cannot do it. You cannot make temporary organs perfect. And the only way you can be perfect as the Father and fulfill that command is to accept your spiritual self. to get out of that cage. We who live in the material world are in a state of infidelity to the Father. We are not perfect, and by maintaining a consciousness in the form, we are rejecting the perfection of our own being. You remember when Paul said that when you are in the body, you are absent from the Lord. And that's what he was saying. In reverse, when he also said, and when you are out of the body, you are present with the Lord. You cannot be in the body consciousness, in the material world, in the material mind, and be in the kingdom of God too, under the government of God. Now let's translate that into the word life. You cannot be in the material consciousness, in the material body, and be in the kingdom of life. Then where are we? If we're not in the kingdom of life, where are we? We are in that place that says, when the Spirit comes upon you, the dead will step out of their graves. That's where we are. Wisdom is to accept that you can be perfect as your Father only in a spiritual form. And because matter can never become spirit, when you are told to be perfect as your Father, it must be because you have a spiritual form. Not something you are going to become, but something you learn you are. Come out from the belief that you are in a material form because you're not. That's the world mind's disguise, which has made you believe you are in a material form. And so we are all in the cage of unclean spirits. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, meaning Babylon. This is the state of mind of the world. And the merchants of earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We have accepted the good. We have tried to avoid the evil. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, and again, remember, a voice from heaven saying is always the inner voice. Don't visualize somebody up there coming down on wings. The voice from heaven is always the voice of God within you, within John. Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. Come out of the world mind. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. You see, all of the plagues of the world only occur in the world mind and in matter, which is the creation of the world mind. Matter is not an emanation from God. It is a creation of the world mind. That is why it is not supported by God. That is why this year, around this world, 1 million people will die of cancer. Do you think that 1 million bodies were created by God to die of cancer? Surely you can see that they are not God's creation. They are in the world mind, matter created by the world mind. What about the rest of the billions? Are they different? Were they created by God, but the 1 million who die of cancer were not? You will have to go a long way to find one human body that God created. All human matter is a world mind creation. It is not an emanation from God. It is not under the law of God. And we are being enlightened to see that because God did not create human matter, but God is my Father, I cannot be what I appear to be. I cannot be human matter. And as long as I maintain the belief that I am not under the law of God. I am not walking in the kingdom. I am walking in the illusion of a self that never was created. The veil is lifting. Come out of her. Now that's been repeated again and again. It's the title of our talk today. Come out of her. These are the four words we want to remember. That as long as we are in Babylon, in mortal mind, in world consciousness, I and the Father are separated by that world consciousness. And apart from the Father, I use up what little substance I have, and they pronounce me dead. They pronounce me sick. They pronounce me suffering. But out of the world consciousness, when I come out of her, when I take no thought, when I rest in the tranquility of that mind which knows, in truth, I and the Father are one perfect, unseparated spirit. I and my neighbor are one perfect, unseparated spirit. I and my husband, I and my child, I and my mother, I and my father, I and everyone who has ever walked the earth or whoever will are one unseparated spirit. Then I am out of the world mind because it tells me just the opposite. It tells me I'm separated from everyone, and I'm not. I and the Father are one, and the Father is all. I and all are one. And as I live in this consciousness, the world mind cannot find a target in me. And it cannot broadcast to me its lies about sin, disease, and death, about lack and limitation, about pain and sorrow and grief. Nothing that the world mind brings to that one who is out of the world mind, who is in the consciousness that I and the Father are one spirit, that I and the universe are one spirit, that one is free. That one can face the firing squad. That one can face anything on this earth, because everything on this earth is the world mind. That one consciously walks in the kingdom of God on earth, in the new earth, in the invisible reality of being. Between the good and the evil, in the middle path of truth. Not in the changing good or the changing evil, but in the permanent truth. That's where your practice must be. For her sins have reached unto heaven. God hath remembered her iniquities. Every evil on the earth is a separation from God. That is the meaning of God hath remembered her iniquities. When you accept evil, you are denying God's presence, and that is your separation. And evil is accepted only because you're in that chain of broadcasting called the world consciousness, individualizing as a me. I'm going to keep poking at that little me, because that fellow is the one who accepts the appearances. That little me says, yes, there it is. That little me someday won't get up in your bed in the morning. Instead, I will be there. That little me will suddenly awaken to find I says, sorry me, your days are over. I am living this day. Not me, I. I'm walking forth, for I walk in the kingdom. I walk in oneness with the Father. I have come out of the world mind. I have overcome the world mind. I'm walking in God's day. I'm walking in reality, in truth, in spirit, in corporeal form no longer, for I am spiritual being. When that me is pushed aside and I takes over, then you're in the new earth. You are fulfilling all scripture. You're in the one mind, not the shadow of a mind. You're in reality, not the counterfeit. And you'll find those aches and pains aren't in reality. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. This sounds like an eye for an eye, but it isn't. The double chastisement here is the duality of the world mind. Every time an error occurs in your life that you accept, that's what you feed back into the world mind. And so you experience the error and you perpetuate the belief, and that adds the error back to world mind. And now there's an individual error and a collective error, so that the individual karma and the collective karma are increased. This is the double chastisement. When you break the circuit for yourself, you see, you break it for the collective world mind too. That's how you do your world work. You reduce it double, just as you can increase it double, depending on where you are in consciousness. And a consciousness like Joel's, which can stand in truth and overcome the world mind, reduces it double constantly. And that is why today, invisibly, the consciousness of a Joel is magnified thousands of times. That is why two or more in my name. That is why one with God is a majority. That is why 10 can save a city. The compounding of that truth in consciousness, in the invisible, overcomes much of the world mind, and finally through it comes the Christ, which is now taking over the earth. The roots are all there, emerging, blossoming forth. You'll see them at first as the evils of the world made manifest, because truth drives evil into visibility. The more truth is expressed, the more evil will appear, until the climax of folly is reached. All of the evil you see is the outer expression of truth in consciousness, cleansing the collective temple of man's mind. There's a great deal of house cleaning being done in the invisible. That whip which he took in the temple was a cosmic whip. And all through the consciousness of man, there is a cleansing, a purification now going on. And all of the uncleaned, all of the caged birds are running for cover. We call them pollution of water, antagonism between nations. We give them all kinds of names, but they are the cleansing of the inner temple of the world consciousness. And they will be followed by the raising up of Christ in you. How much hath she glorified herself and lived deliciously, still speaking of the world mind, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she hath in her heart, she hath said in her heart, I sit a queen. I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. The world mind thinks that it is impregnable. The mind of man thinks that it is the king of the roost. So did Jerusalem in the days of Jeremiah. And he used the same phrase. She thinks that she is no widow. Jerusalem fell. So with world consciousness today, it is falling, but it doesn't know it. It is still trying to perpetuate its very inadequate and inefficient institutions, which mock the perfection of the Father. When you see corruption increase today, do not be surprised. When you see disintegration in the fiber of all human life, do not be surprised. It is the Word in the invisible casting out all that is unclean. No matter where you look today, there's a different level of consciousness on the earth than there was, say, 30, 40 years ago. Today, there seems to be less respect for truth, less respect for the eternal realities, less respect for the soul. And the reason for it is that the end of time has reached its climax. In time there is a place called fullness, and the time of fullness has arrived. It is clear, and will be increasingly clear, that the mind of man is incapable of running this earth. Man has thought he was capable, but his incapacity to run his own world is becoming increasingly clear. The comedy of errors increases day in, day out. And there will be a moment when man will know this. He will no longer respect his own laws and institutions. He will begin to see that thy will be done is totally different than man's will be done. He will understand he has been glorifying himself. He has been living in the delicacies of human existence. He has been living deliciously. And he has been living with a great deal of injustice and inequalities, stamping on the oppressed, hating those who are not of his own like household, his own color, his own politics, his own nation. All has been my country, my way, my idea, myself. All has been separation. All has been the absence of love. None of it is of God. And this is the end of it. You're going back to the days of Rome, when all was degeneracy. You're seeing it all around you. You're seeing the repetition of the days of the Christ in the form of Jesus, who stood faced the Roman Empire. That is what's happening again. And always when it happens, there is a new spiritual force coming into manifestation. Don't look for the year 2000. Before that happens, it will be time no more. Don't look to science, and don't look to religion. You will find that they are both sides of the same coin. The same mortal mind that gives us evil gives us science and gives us religion. And the world is looking to these things, you know. Don't be fooled. There's only one answer, and Paul gave it to us. When you're absent from the physical form, you're present with the Lord. When you're in the physical form, you're absent from the Lord. Don't look to religion, don't look to science, don't look to anything but your invisible spiritual self. You are the church of God. You are the Christ of God. And only the Christ of God in you survives that which lies ahead. Do you see that's what Scripture is telling us? Don't put your faith in princes. Don't put your faith in men. Henceforth know ye no man after the flesh. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, religion or science. It makes no difference. They're all mortal mind made visible. Some look good and some look better and some look worse. And none are of the Father. You can see God never made any of the religions of this earth. God never made any of the machines that science boasts about. God never made any of the physical bodies that will ever die. But God made a perfect universe of his spirit. And that invisible kingdom here and now can be lived in by the child of God called Christ, the only begotten, which each of us is in our reality, and which each of us is not in our world concept called the human race. Come out of her. You see that little me? Who wakes up in the morning with a big schedule ahead, that's who must come out of her. Now, it's no more easier for me to say this than it is for you to hear it, believe me. And it's no easier for me to do it. But it must be done. Jesus came out of her. Jesus came out of the me called Jesus. Do you see that? He came out of me. Paul came out of me. John came out of me. He reached the place where he could say, you can crucify the me, because it isn't me. And he was out of it before it was crucified. Why? He could listen to the Father's voice which said, thou art my only begotten. And that's not a me. That's I am. That's where life is. Behind the veil of the world mind. Outside of a me. And as long as there's a me, there's no life there. There's the pretense. The deceiver. And that deceiver, pretending life is there, is Babylon. Christ in you has overcome the illusion of a self that dies. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is ever present as our identity. And if you live in identity, if you accept identity of all those who come to you, regardless of what face they are showing forth, if you live in their identity and your identity as the one invisible perfect identity, you have come out of her. And for you, Babylon holds no terror. Identity is the key. The moment you cease to recognize identity, but accept appearance, you're back in Babylon. You're throwing away 4,000 years of scripture, and you're back in Babylon that instant. There is no mortal. There is only Christ identity. Whether it wanders into your house as a boy under hypnotism, whether it's a servant who is out to get you for something you've done, whether it is a person who for some reason or another is not very friendly toward you, pray even for that so-called enemy by recognizing only God is and I need no other shelter. Only God is. I will not entertain separation or belief in another being on this earth. When you dwell in correct identity, every law of God falls into place for you. The unbelievable miracle of identity always functions as infinity where you are. You're pressing the right button when you live in identity. Not only yours, but mine, his, hers, its. Identity is the key to the kingdom of God on earth. And if you want to walk in that kingdom here and now, impervious to the fears of the world, you must walk in the identity that all on this earth are the invisible Christ. There are no exceptions. It doesn't matter who you would like to exclude, they cannot be excluded. The one you hate the most is the invisible Christ. The one you love the most is the invisible Christ. And who says you hate this one and love that one? That little me. Me must go. Always me says I need a raise. I need more money. I don't have the clothes I want. I'm lacking this or that. Me. And me denies Christ, which is the allness of God where you stand. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The end of Babylon in one day. It's pretty strong language. In 4,000 years, we're just beginning to catch the meaning that matter isn't God's creation. And at that moment when the consciousness of Christ bursts through this world so that the unbalance occurs, that will be the day. The day in which world mind is no more. Now when world mind is no more, what goes with it? Its creation. What is its creation? This world. What goes? This world goes when world mind goes. And it's going, and get out of her. Nothing could really be clearer than that. And there's no need to panic. There's no need to run for the nearest exit. The timing is perfect. We are being prepared beautifully. No haste, no hurry. Just abide in the truth of being. And every time you stumble, pick yourself up and smile. Because every stumble is helping you to learn how to abide deeper. Every error is a blessing. Don't worry about them. You reach higher because of those errors, and you know it's true. It prevents you from being smug and complacent and settling for less than you need to come out of Babylon. Kings of earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with Babylon shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Well, we're all the kings of the earth. The false powers that we have accepted are the kings of the earth. And the moment the unreality of matter is exposed and clarified and accepted, that exposure is the smoke of her burning. And there'll be those clinging, wanting to hold on to what they cannot hold on to. But if you let go before, you won't be wasting your time trying to hold on to that which must go. They will be standing off for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is the judgment come." He repeats, "In 1 hour." "And merchants of earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." No one at that point will have any matter. That's the last thing they'll want. They won't have much time to think about it, but they'll see that matter never existed, was never supported by God, and that's the reason it was both good and evil. The illusion, the deception, the mist, the veil that kept us out of Eden is being lifted. And now there's a whole list of things. The merchandise of gold, silver, stones, and it goes on and on and on. It just about names everything that's available in this world. Cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, flour. "All things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all." In other words, the total eclipse of matter is seen by John in this inner revelation. In 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. Just think, thousands of years of man's efforts to secure material things, and in 1 hour come to naught. Do you see the change of consciousness from matter to spirit? Matter vanishes and we emerge in a new earth. Does that sound like something out of Jules Verne to you? Well, it is. It's far more miraculous than anything Jules Verne ever dreamed of. It's the end of the world and the beginning of the new earth and the new heaven, in the new dimension called the fourth dimension of consciousness, in which you walk in a body that at last is no longer subject to all of the evils of a world. Now they are stressing in 1 hour. They have stress come out of her because that 1 hour comes quickly. In other words, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. He is giving us the way to life eternal and is showing us that man has accepted instead the way to destruction, though he need not. And instead of settling, as we have in the past, for momentary first aid kits, we are now going for the perfect reality, the ultimate truth, no in-between steps. We want to live in Christ as the disciples learned to live. We want to live in the realm where the disciples live now. We want to join those who have gone before us into reality. Who have departed from the world consciousness called Babylon and walk now in the fourth heaven, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. One with God. We're all moving toward the first resurrection. And now a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Talking about your false consciousness, they're talking about the false way in which we have worshipped not God but a deceiver called the god of this world. They are preparing us for a great moment in our lives. Birth of Christ. The peace that passeth all understanding. The knowledge that I have found the secret place where, end of the world or not, whatever illusions fall at my right or my left and in whatever quantity, it will not come nigh my dwelling of truth, my dwelling of spirit. And always the little me inside us tucks his head down and lets the words come and says, they're not going to kill me. They've still got me to reckon with. I'm still going to wake up tomorrow morning. I'm still going to run this body. I'm still going to run this life. And this is the first time that I'm facing you with the fact that me and Babylon are one and the same. Don't think of it as the world consciousness out there. It's the world consciousness in you called me. That's all that me ever was. Now, further things are predicted that this me will become empty and shallow and useless to you. That all of the negative qualities you have experienced, which are in me, will be exposed. That every lie about God you have ever heard, thought, or felt is only in me. Everything you have ever sought and wanted was denied to you only by me. If not for me, all that God had for you would be in your experience. Only me has stood in the way. The Babylon and the me are one and the same. The collective me and the individual me are the Antichrist. You may not like me of you to be called Antichrist, but the moment you begin to see that Christ isn't me, you know that me must be Antichrist. And then you have the real problem where it really exists, in the false sense of self, which makes a divided or dual consciousness in you. The death of me is the birth of Christ. So when Matthew tells us through the words of Jesus that if you try to save your life, you will lose it, he's telling us if you try to save me, you will succeed in saving me, and that will be your death, because me will die anyway. But if you can lose me, you will find your life. When the false candle is blown out, no longer will the world be ruled by a false candle, but by the light of the glory of God. And you don't have to wait for the world. Come out of her. That's going to be the end of the 18th chapter. And when you try to isolate this me, you're going to find it very elusive. You can't put your hands on it. Seems to be that you can't find that me. But you're going to have to. And if you're wise, you won't try to find it. You let the Father reveal the Father. And in the presence of the light of the Father, the darkness of me will dissolve. Now, this is a hard lesson for me to give. Mostly because if you're not familiar with this elusive thing called me, you're going to be chasing after something you can't see or find, and you're going to feel frustrated. But Christ in you is ever present, and if you will just stand still, abiding in the awareness of Christ in you, Christ in you will show you the way to crucify me and be born of the Spirit. No matter what I say, it's too weak to emphasize properly the crucifixion of me that is necessary in every person on earth. But when you have found some measure of that, you know why. You are closer to the kingdom than you ever dreamed possible. You discover the infinity of being is no longer just a word or a possibility, but a glorious, ever-expanding, exalted realization. The many mansions open up. The minute me is no longer there in its finite, limiting sense of life. Me and Babylon must fall. Next week we hope that there's less of a me here. But whether there is or not, be sure that the Spirit of truth in you never fails, no matter how it might seem to me outside. The Spirit of truth in you is the activity of the Holy Ghost, which is now rising into new prominence just before the end of Babylon. The word withdrawal is an interesting word. We're to learn how to withdraw from me. And at this particular point, that's all I can tell you. To learn how to withdraw from me is the challenge of the 18th chapter of the Revelation. How you interpret it and how you practice that withdrawal from me is up to you at this point. But next week, we'll see what you've done and we'll take it from there and try to give you more definite outlines on how to withdraw from me. Thanks again.